Ready, Carla? Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the September 24th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz? Fish?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Welcome, everyone. We have two time certain items on the council calendar this afternoon. We think they'll each take roughly an hour. We'll get to the first one in a moment. Just basic ground rules. If you're here to testify on one of those items, sign up with our council clerk. If you want to speak, you need to give only your name, no need for addresses and such. If you're a lobbyist representing an organization under our code, please disclose that. And obviously, we always maintain the rules of decorum here, so please no vocal demonstrations in favor or against your fellow citizens' point of view, but if you'd like to give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down to show how you feel, that's fine. So welcome, and let's hear, please, item 986.
Extend term of street closure program in Old Town, Chinatown, for a period of 1 year.
Okay, I want to call up a panel for presenting this. Commander Westbrook, are you coming up? I know Sergeant Simon is, and Kelly Sills, I believe, is coming up with you, and Art Pierce. So come on up in whatever seating arrangement we can manage for the four of you, and then we also have a couple of other folks as well. Sarah. All right, we'll make it a five-person lineup.
Interagency coordination.
That's it takes a village to do this. So, Commander and team, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, I'll start this off. I'm Sarah Westbrook. I'm the commander at Central Precinct, and I'm really here to give just that introduction and say that we are in favor of the street closure. Sergeant Simon here is going to give you the history of the street closure and some of the specifics about what we know about it, particularly in this last year.
Afternoon.
Morning, sir. Sergeant Rob Simon. I'm a member of the Portland Police Bureau. I'm currently assigned to the Entertainment District downtown.
Sergeant, pull that microphone a little closer to you. There you go.
The closure began kind of operational since December of 2012. It's basically Friday and Saturday nights from 10 p.m. to 0300, 3 in the morning. And we do it on special occasions as needed. But generally, it's one sergeant, 4 to 6 officers. We close the area off kind of at a request for public safety. Just the sheer number of people in the area. And on the screen there is the map of the closure. It is Northwest 2 to 4th, Burnside to Davis. And again, that's Friday and Saturday night we do that. And some of the statistical analysis that have been done was mostly done 2012 to 2014. Shows self-initiated calls, dispatch calls. 2015 data is currently unavailable with our operating system issue. We're having problems crunching those numbers on that. Hopefully be remedied soon, obviously, but right now our statistics for that are unknown. This graph really shows kind of the second one in 2013, this spike in self-initiated calls. That's when the closure first started. We did some things to tweak that because that was the officers going out to the bar areas doing self-initiated calls all the time. We changed that, a radio dispatch coding system. After we changed that, the calls went way down, self-initiated. However, the dispatch calls, you can see, went down as well. Once the closure happened, the streets were closed off. It became a safer environment for citizens and everybody else. And those crimes and calls for service went down. This graph here just shows the total offenses, part one and part two crimes. The big thing to get from this graph, sir, is the simple assaults. That's most of your bar fights, things like that. That number, 2012, 2013, was 18. That went down to 7, 2014. And we believe that trend to be down even further now. That's the majority of calls we get, the bar fight calls, typically. The total calls for service between 13 and 14 went from 75 to 46. That's a pretty significant decrease. We believe that's all based on the closure. Some of the things we did within the closure to kind of modify things and kind of work as we go is we established the new radio codes, as I had mentioned, to bring that self-initiated number back down to reality, which is in par. It went from 47 to 499, which is about the same. We believe that the officer's actual use of force within the closure is less, and that's simply because we often preempt fights. We're there when tensions get heated up. Typically, if you respond to a call for service, you respond to the fights in the process or just got broke up, tensions are way high. or us being there all the time, we can literally just preempt fights. We see two guys squaring off or security dealing with somebody. We just intervene immediately, and the problem is just squashed. We're that visual presence of the officers there in uniform, and also security uses us to diffuse their problems. Somebody will have an attitude with security. They'll point the police officer sitting half a block away and like, if you don't want to deal with me, you can deal with them. And typically, people just go away. So this is kind of a livability issue that's increased. Another thing we've been doing is like to kind of the continued and improved collaboration among the safety, bar personnel, and stakeholders. Since we started the closure, two more locations have opened up within it. And both their capacity combined is about 300. So we're adding 300 more bar goers and citizens within that closure. The area has become a tourist destination. Every weekend we're having pictures taken with bachelor and bachelorette parties. Every weekend we get people from all over the country, Seattle, saying, hey, we don't have this in Seattle. What is this? What is this place? This is great. It kind of becomes a tourist destination, where it kind of seems it's become. And we also handle livability issues in the area. Every weekend we deal with a person who got their credit card stolen a week ago or somebody using a doorway as a urinal. We deal with the livability issues in that area as well. And that's just because we're there, we're handling all the issues as we go. And we select the officers to work that area based on their temperament, their personality, kind of their patience level. They got to be friendly and outgoing, kind of a face for the police bureau to the public. And that's where we get, I mean, you look at Twitter or Facebook, whatever, you'll see pictures every weekend of officers posing with citizens in the area. And we believe that's positive. That's part of our gig, is kind of be an ambassador for the police bureau. So for all those reasons, we believe the closure should stay. I don't know how the sidewalks would handle it if everybody let out at the same time in the area anyway. There's thousands of people come through this closure on the weekend, and if it wasn't there and the bars let out at 1:30, people are going to be in the streets, and somebody's going to get seriously injured by a car coming through. But so I'll pass back to Commander.
That's our part of it.
Great. Thank you very much. Good report. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. My name is Kelly Sills. I'm the Parking Control Manager in the Bureau of Transportation. I just have a couple of slides. The first one I want to present to you is the occupancy data for, hopefully it'll come up, for the NATO and Davis Spark Park garage. The reason that's relevant is that it's within close proximity to the closure area. And one of the changes between last year and this year is that the Davis Street portion between 2nd and 4th Avenues in Northwest was withdrawn from the closure area to allow not only parking but better access to the garage.
Those are all Saturdays? Is that right?
Actually, it's both. The bars represent the weekend data.
Oh, okay. All weekend.
The bright red line, which is inclining, is representing Saturdays only.
Okay.
And then that kind of brownish line, which is relatively stable, is Fridays.
All right, I get it.
And the opening of Davis Street really has had pretty much no appreciable impact on Fridays, but it has resulted in some increases on Saturdays. And so we think that's a positive thing, and we'd like to see Davis stay open. Moving on to the next slide, this is the information about citations and tows. And this slide reflects data just from summer 2015. As you can see, it's quite variable, which is probably a reflection of what the attractions are within the closure area on any given weekend. But the average number of tows during that time frame is 9. That's out of a total of approximately, or I should say exactly, 386 citations, of which 250 vehicles were towed. So about 65% of those vehicles cited were towed. The reason that there is a discrepancy between the two is that between the time a vehicle receives a citation and the time that a tow car is available to pick it up, the people may in fact leave the closure area and in that window of opportunity. And that really is all I had.
Art or Sarah, who's next?
I think I'm next. We're demonstrating all the different city agencies it takes to help support these efforts. Coming out of the nighttime closure work, we heard requests that not just during the weekends and not during just these late evening hours, there was a desire from Old Town businesses and Chinatown businesses to see a more livable streetscape as a more permanent structure there. So PBOT was engaged really at the request of the adjacent property owners and the Old Town Chinatown Business Association to come up with a suggestion of a pretty simple striping change we could make to the section of 3rd Avenue from specifically really from Davis to Stark. And so this is a hard graphic to see, and we were hoping we could actually have a after pictures to show today. We thought we might be able to do this this past weekend. It's likely to happen this coming weekend. But the key piece of it is that, particularly in that area right around Ankeny Alley, we're able to narrow the number of vehicle lanes, add in a protected bicycle lane, and create about 28 feet of additional plaza space for Ankeny Alley. So just by some restriping and really with, we think, very minor operational tweaks, we'll be able to sort of narrow down that space. A lot of the concerns we heard was about the crossing of 3rd itself, but also the crossing of Burnside and the crossing over to Ankeny Alley, that there's the pedestrian environment is really not very friendly the way it's designed now. So we think this change is a relatively minor tweak, but it will make a real difference in the 24-hour-a-day experience of this area. It also comes with 8 additional crossings, and this is one of the areas where we just did those raindrops crossings at 3rd as well. So that's sort of a hint to come of what the street might be able to look like long-term.
8 crossings on 3rd itself, or not all?
I think it's around in the surrounding area, not just on. Complementing that. So we hope that probably this coming weekend will be when that striping will occur. So we will be able to show some pictures or direct you to those soon. So.
Great, thank you. Okay, Sarah, welcome.
So I think a reoccurring theme is both the interrelationship of a number of activities and the interbureau effort. And so that was echoed in the 5-year action plan that was before council about a year ago. So we're 1 year into a 5-year plan, and that was a 3-pronged effort to focus on business vitality, neighborhood investment, and livability efforts. And so I wanted to highlight one effort in particular. Last year we enrolled the Community Livability Grant program for the first time in Old Town Chinatown, and we awarded 5 projects through that grant program, and I want to highlight one project in particular that's related to the efforts we're discussing today along 3rd Avenue. One of the challenges that we highlighted in formulating the action plan was, again, the challenge crossing Burnside and some of the balance of uses and activities that we have seen in Old Town Chinatown. So the Ankeny Alley Association is a nonprofit association that was founded by the businesses that are adjacent to Ankeny Alley and to activate and effectively program that area. They applied for a grant to improve the cleanliness, the safety, and the activation of Ankeny Alley, and as well as expand and capture some of the unused right-of-way into the 3rd Avenue Plaza area. So they were looking to improve some of the drainage challenges they have and some of the safety and visibility challenges with sight lines that would allow them to reconfigure and better program the space in collaboration with some of the partners you see here today that would allow them to better program. As was mentioned, Ankeny Alley, as well as other areas of Old Town Chinatown, are one of the premier destinations within Old Town Chinatown. When you think of entertainment, if you Google what to do in Portland, you will see Voodoo Donuts, you will see Ankeny Alley, you will see Old Town Chinatown as the entertainment destination. And we saw this project as a way to kind of highlight how to enjoy Old Town Chinatown as a positive entertainment destination. And this nonprofit association has really focused on doing that in a positive way. And the positive activation of this plaza was seen as a pilot to help demonstrate that. So again, it's about an $88,000 project. PDC, through our grant program, is providing the majority of funds, but the association is also bringing both some in-kind dollars as well as real dollars to the match for this project. We are currently in the process of working on operations and maintenance agreement and securing the final design and bids for the project, and hope to wrap that up by the end of the year, at which point they can move forward with construction and hope to be open for the next spring season. I think one of the key things to feature is the staff of the Bureau of Planning, as well as PDC and other partners, including the Clean and Safe, the Portland Business Alliance, have been really focusing on how to positively program this space. It is a significant improvement or expansion of space that extends beyond just the business's immediate front doors, and so how to make this a positive environment that's actively programmed and creates the kind of space and activities we would like to see in this space will be important, and so that the operations and maintenance agreement is an important first step. And again, having this active environment helps bridge that activity across Burnside to the closure area. So again, touching quickly on some of the benefits of kind of the improved drainage that will allow them to better reconfigure and orient their space and better program their space. And again, that connectivity and serving as really a good pilot program of how we can see positive activation and entertainment uses through kind of a broader hours within this area.
Thank you all very much. Questions for this panel? Great work. I know we have Brian Hashagan here from our community advisory group, and I see perhaps some others that want to testify as well, but we'll bring you up, Brian, since you've been part of this project from the beginning.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Ryan Hashigan. I run Icicle Tricycles and Pedal Works in Old Town, and I'm the chair of the Third Avenue Stakeholder Advisory Group. Our group includes a wide range of stakeholders from social service providers and residents to nightlife businesses. And over the last several years, our group has worked in partnership with the city, Portland Police, and PBOT to enhance the livability of our neighborhood. While the street closure has enhanced pedestrian safety and public safety for people enjoying the nightlife of Old Town, it has also brought our community together to create a plan for incremental neighborhood improvements for everyone in Old Town. With the help of Chad Stover from the mayor's office, PPB, Commissioner Novick's office, PBOT, and Better Block PDX, our stakeholder group has recommended and seen the city install designated taxi loading zones on Burnside, installed 8 new crosswalks on 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Avenue, created better access to the Smart Park garage, and will soon see the restriping of 3rd Avenue and a future expanded plaza at Ankeny Alley. These improvements recognize the historic nature and density of uses and people in our neighborhood and create safe routes for people and enhance and maintain mobility for all users. They improve pedestrian crossings and connections in the neighborhood, calming traffic speeds and allocating a dedicated space for people walking and biking, while also maintaining neighborhood parking and mobility for all users with no anticipated additional traffic delay. The overall projects stem from community demand for a safer, more walkable Old Town Chinatown for residents, visitors, locals, and tourists at all hours of the day. With the help of Better Block PDX, a pilot project brought our community vision to the street, and we had the opportunity to test out what worked and what didn't work. This allowed our stakeholder advisory group and the Old Town Chinatown Community Association to reach a unanimous decision in support for the 3rd Avenue Street Safety Plan. These plans build on the PDC's 5-year action plan for our neighborhood by increasing access north and south across Burnside and creating opportunities for better daytime business environment in Old Town Chinatown. Our stakeholder group will continue to meet and provide feedback on the results of the street closure and the street safety plan. We've had recent discussions with the city regarding reducing the amount of vehicles towed, installing TNC loading zones, and reviewing the seasonality of the closure, in addition to managing parking with later meter hours. Our stakeholder group would like to thank the city, Portland Police, and PBOT for responding to our community needs and continuing to work for a better Old Town Chinatown for all visitors and locals to enjoy. Thank you.
No, thank you. Really appreciate your leadership on this and you pushing us to try experiments as a way to figure out how to make places better. It worked.
Thank you.
Okay, I see we have some other folks signed up to testify. Is that right? Lisa Frisch from PBA is here. Lisa, why don't you come on up, and we'll take you first, and then we'll take the sign-up sheet.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Lisa Frisch, and I am the Downtown Retail Program Director for the Portland Business Alliance and Downtown Clean and Safe. I'm here to support the Old Town Chinatown Community Association and their efforts to foster a vibrant neighborhood. You've just heard testimony. Well, you haven't heard testimony, sorry. You just heard staff members talk about the Old Town community's support of the extension of the entertainment street closure project and the 3rd Avenue restriping plan. I want to reiterate that this is a success story. When we were here 2 years ago, there was considerable conflict with residents and entertainment-based businesses in the neighborhood. The city had proposed formalizing street closures in the nightlife area, closing the area to cars to allow for safe pedestrian passage, as well as visibility for the police to spot any trouble that might occur. The project was met with concern from both residents and longstanding businesses in the neighborhood. The nightclubs were very worried about the real threat that street closure could pose to the survival of their businesses in the district. But the nightclubs took this as a challenge to call as a call to action on their part to ensure patrons were engaging in safe and responsible behavior in the district. They organized a hospitality committee, developed standards and best practices, and have engaged in self-policing to improve their operations and reaffirm their commitment to the neighborhood and being good neighbors in the district. For the past 2 years, the committee has been working closely with partners, including the Portland Police and the Bureau of Transportation, on enhancing the environment for pedestrians during the day, as well as Friday and Saturday evenings. Enhancements suggested by this committee that you just heard included adding new crosswalks on 3rd Avenue and Davis Street, amongst others, supporting the development of an active Ankeny Plaza, modifying the street closure to open Davis Street to allow access to Smart Park Garage and hopefully reduce the number of car tows, creating taxi pickup zones in the closure area for their patrons, and the overall 3rd Avenue restriping plan that you just saw. The initial restriping plan developed by Better Blocks PDX seemed really focused on restricting automobile access, much to the chagrin of long-standing neighborhood businesses that rely on this auto traffic to bring customers into the district. We applaud PBOT's efforts to develop a comprehensive plan that accommodates existing automobile traffic and retains much-needed on-street short-term parking for customers in the area. The width of the street allowed for a bike lane to be added and should not negatively affect capacity levels in the neighborhood. It is not easy for a project to satisfy the needs of varied interests in the neighborhood, and I want to again thank committee members and city representatives for truly making this work for all Portlanders. Both the ongoing street closure project and the restriping plan support the ongoing vibrancy in the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood and the city's adopted 5-year plan for the district to spur market rate housing, retail, and restaurant development. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thanks very much. And who else do we have signed up, please?
The next three are Joe Walsh, Dan Lenzen, and J.E. Isaac.
Come on up. Walsh, I think you're first.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals with Justice. We have no serious objections to this. We think it's a good idea. It should be extended for the year. We do have some concerns about the noise level, but my understanding is this is on the weekends, and it's after 2 o'clock, and I asked some questions to one of your staff, and we have no serious objections to this. However, I think the police department could at least be sensitive to the noise level. You know, once it gets 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you know, that noise travels. So in our apartment complex, we have people coming and going on Friday nights and Saturday nights going to parties. It's part of living. You know, you got to be a little flexible. However, it shouldn't be ignored. And it's a problem because we don't have, apparently, in this city, a really good noise level monitor. You know, we seem to be always talking about sending somebody out. Check it out. Find out what's going on. My understanding also is from your staff again, is this lasts about an hour after the people come out of the bars. I haven't been in a bar so long I had to check the closing time. So, but if that's from 2 to 3.
Right.
So those are our concerns. We like the idea. It sounds like fun. People should be able to enjoy their lives within reason. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lenzen, welcome.
Howdy. Good afternoon, council members. My name is Dan Lenzen. I'm a partner with Venture Hospitality and Real Estate. We have 30 years of experience owning property and operating hospitality venues in Old Town Portland. I also am a board member with the Old Town Chinatown Community Association and chair of the Old Town Hospitality Group, representing nearly 40 restaurants, bars, and clubs in Old Town. Prior to the street closure, hospitality businesses in the street in the closure all vied for business in a vacuum, meaning the collaboration between business owners, managements, and staffs was minimal. As the closure continued into 2013, a collaborative of businesses emerged named the Old Town Hospitality Group, or OTHG. This group quickly found its voice and since has moved on to making great strides. Some of the accomplishments that have come of it are advocating for better mobility, shared resources in employees and management, mitigating issues and lowering calls for service, working actively and proactively with police, fire, OLCC agencies, marketing outreach to the metro area, creating and distributing a best practices for neighboring hospitality businesses, and co-producing the Portland Bar Academy with Big Village to raise the bar. Members of the Old Town Hospitality Group are actively involved with the Third Avenue Steering Committee, Angany Alley Association, Old Town Chinatown Community Association, and our national speakers. Businesses in the street closure have said how much they enjoy working with Sergeant Simon and his associates from Portland Police, John Marine from OLCC, and Rob Cruiser from Portland Fire. These individuals have fairly worked to achieve compliance to the respective rules they enforce. Now, the surviving businesses in the street closure have adapted and innovated during this time. Now they're doing better. Old Town Hospitality Group generally is a proponent of the extension of the ordinance. The support comes with the caveat to continue finding ways to implement the recommendations previously submitted by the Old Town Hospitality Group to include seasonality with a final goal of possibly removing the street closure as it is, if it morphs into something else. From the Hospitality Group, we thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Thanks for your work. Mr. Isaac, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Jay Isaac with CFM. We're representing Oregon Theater Management, which owns and operates the Roseland Theater, which is an Old Town entertainment venue and member of the Old Town Hospitality Group. We believe the history of the closure thus far is an excellent example of public-private joint efforts to improve our community. We support the continuation of the closure for an additional year, provided, as others have mentioned and will mention, that Davis continues to remain open. That was a tweak that our group asked for last year, and it was instituted, and it's been great. The recent efforts to reduce towing of cars, which creates an unbelievable amount of bad will, if we can continue that and not only continue it but augment it and try to, you know, figure out a way where there can just be really, you know, expensive ticketing or something so that, you know, people don't have to go through that really expensive situation of waiting on their car all night and paying $400 or $500. Physical improvements that are being planned and talked about, hopefully those can be brought online as soon as possible. And we strongly support this idea of this year trying seasonality. And what seasonality means is not to reduce the police presence, that hopefully that would continue to be 365 days a year, but in the heart of winter where we really don't see the type of street activity that we see other times of the year, it may be possible that we wouldn't have to close streets at all for certain weekends, say in January, February, when we're having, you know, the wettest part of our weather. So that's what we would like to see going forward, a test of that this year.
Mr. Isaac, this is a bit of a tangent, but you brought up the issue of towing. And yes. One of the things we've been looking at as PBOT is, should we move from a system of towing to one where we rely on boots? I was just curious whether you...
The boot idea, I didn't know if we had that technology or could do that, but I think that's an excellent idea because there is the issue of if someone comes out of the bar during the closure and the barricades are up, how are we supposed to deal with that? A ticket probably won't do it, but I think boots or something like that would be an excellent solution.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay, others that are signed up to speak?
Yes, we have two more, Karen Bowler and Steve Entwistle, Sr.
Okay, come on up. Ms. Bowler, welcome. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Hello, Council. I'm Karen Bowler with Tube and Fortune in Chinatown. Turns out I'm reiterating a lot of what Jay Isaac said. I'm a member of the Old Town Hospitality Group. We'd like to request that the city stops its practice of towing vehicles parked in the street closure. Currently, drivers must pay around $300 in tickets and tow fees to get their vehicles back. Additionally, a driver must go to a lot under the freeway in Industrial Northwest to wait until 6 a.m. for the tow yard to open to reclaim their vehicle. Needless to say, we've all had countless former patrons tell us they will not return to Chinatown again after such an experience. Frankly, we do not feel that we can afford to lose 18 vehicles worth of customers every week. We believe that the $90 ticket currently issued is punitive enough to deter repeat offenses and yet reasonable enough so as not to deter people from coming back to the district. Additionally, I'd like to thank you for declaring a state of emergency for housing the homeless in Portland. We're excited to see more beds become available for those in need. I do ask that you please also address the other piece of the puzzle by establishing enforceable laws to curb nuisance behavior by those on the street. We are truly hoping that this state of emergency will help homeless people as well as local business. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Council. I was told not to speak too close to the mic.
You're fine. That's good.
So people can hear me. Anyway.
I'll just give your name, Steve.
Stephen Entwistle. I am a co-founder of Oregon Healing Man Sanctuary. I'm also an advocate and whistleblower for the less fortunate. And this is one of the issues that we've been dealing with for a long time. We have in here in this city a historic indifference towards local residents. Let me repeat that again. We have in Portland a historic indifference towards local residents living that have been living here for a long time in these areas that are affected by noise. Okay, noise is the N-word that nobody wants to speak about. Okay, because we have a problem with this. Okay, I am a noise-affected person on a daily basis because I live next to one of these bars. And I know that when you try to make a complaint, when you try to get any kind of resolve, best practices are never in use, not for us, not for the people. Okay, but and it's actually when you complain, there's bad will that comes at us. We are the neighbors. We're the ones that are there, that live there. Okay, we're not there partying. Okay, we're there living there. But some of us work and live. And when you deny, when you take away our ability to sleep, it takes away our health. It steals from our job, it steals from our livelihood. The livability is basically what you guys are doing is irresponsible capitalism. Okay, you talked earlier this morning about responsible capitalism, Mayor. This is irresponsible capitalism. When you ignore the needs of the citizenry of your city and just go over the top and don't care about them, don't care about their complaints, okay? And then you go, well, nobody complained over here. Oh, everything must be fine, right? No, it's not. People are getting hit on the chin every night, okay? They've complained. But you know what? They get no results. Nothing happens. How many citations have you given these bars on noise in the last year, 2 years, 3 years? Tell me, how many? Does anybody know? People are dying. Homeless folks are trying to get into housing, okay, some of these areas. Okay, they're leaving that housing because of the noise, and they're going back on the street. Think about that for a moment. I think the officers should be required to live in the housing units affected by the noise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? So any council questions for staff? This is actually going to come back for second reading, so I have a few comments, and others might want to make some comments as well because it will come back on second reading. First, I want to appreciate the comments that were made in the hearing today about both noise and towing. I think those are two issues where we have to tune this particular tool a little better. I've been out with the team some nights to see how it works, and the noise level is significant. And we only have, I think, 1.5 or 2 now noise officers for a city of 600,000 people. So managing noise in an increasingly busy city in a very busy entertainment district is a challenge, and I appreciate the points that were made here about noise. I think Commissioner Novick may speak to this as well, but it's certainly not the city's goal to tow people. We simply want this public space to work, and so that's why vehicles that are there when the closure starts are ticketed, and I like the suggestion about boots and certainly think it's worth pursuing. But I just want to reflect on the success here overall and the huge progress that's been made in a couple of years. This went from a damage control strategy in the police bureau to a community building effort led largely by people from the community with support from the police bureau and elsewhere, and that's the way it should be. And I appreciate the business owners and the organizations that have stepped up to build that civic infrastructure that makes this a great neighborhood. And it's our job to be an effective partner for that. So I really I think it's pretty remarkable, and I think Dan does too, to see where we are now given where we were. And it's our goal as a city for this to be a lively, successful entertainment district and a great neighborhood. And that's a difficult balance to strike, but it certainly sounds to me like we're striking it better. The other comment I want to make is to just thank Chad Stover, a member of my staff, who gets strange assignments like last Thursday and this. We have sometimes called him the manager of mayhem in our office, but it's not mayhem at all, because it now is actually a pretty lively place where people are getting along by and large. And I want to commend Chad for his good work. Thank him very much for working with the community to get to this level of agreement that I don't think anybody might have had any reason to expect a couple of years ago. Any other folks want to make comments at this point? So I want to thank you all. This will be scheduled for second reading next week, and we're recessed for 20 minutes until we take up our next time certain.